We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good morning, USA! Charlamagne the God.
Well, he's having technical difficulties. Jess Hilarious, good morning, Jess.
What's up? I'm not. Hey, y'all, I got the studio by myself.
No, you don't. I'm right behind you. What you talking about?
Oh, my God. But you ain't in here. I don't feel the Guzman negative energy today, so I'm
the Guzman negative energy.
Yes, I bought my sage. I say yes. I ain't got nobody picking on the rappers. We ain't got nobody, you know, acting
shut
like
up,
the
man.
We don't need none of that in here.
Well, Charlamagne is having technical difficulties. He's there. I'm actually looking at him. You can see him right now, but he just can't. His yep. mic is not working yet, so we have to get his mic working.
Okay.
I'm actually out in Aruba.
Ooh.
So, if you don't know Sinbad, who is a comedian, his brother does this annual event out in Aruba, and I do it each and every Memorial weekend. But because I'm doing my car show this weekend, which is this Sunday, the kickoff event is Wednesday, so I came for the kickoff event. It was a beautiful event, nice event. There's so many people out there. So many listeners that listen to The Breakfast Club were actually there. Now, there's a lady that calls. I think you remember her. She's the bus driver from the Bronx. She calls damn near every day.
Mm.
She's out here. She's having a good time. So I just want to salute to everybody that's coming out here or that's out here. They're probably sleeping because we partied to like 5 a.m. But I want to salute to everybody. I'm having a good time, and then I'm on my way back after the show. So I'll be back in New York after the show. So how was everything yesterday, Jess?
Everything.
Did you miss me?
I really did miss you. I ain't gonna lie. Don't ever leave me alone again with your man. I don't. You know, usually I don't mind being in the presence of somebody else's man because you know I ain't trying to take him. But that's one you can have, Envy. You can have him. I don't need it.
Ooh, what, Charlamagne?
Yes, Charlene. That's what I call him now. He is Charlene the Goddess.
Now, y'all interviewed some people after the show yesterday. Who'd y'all interview?
We interviewed Shameik Moore and then Tony Lewis Sr., Tony Lewis Jr., the DMV notorious. Well, he don't want to be known for that no more, but he was, you know, a big kingpin back in the 80s. And he served 34 years in jail. And
Jesus.
His son worked so hard to bring him home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's home now, and I'm sure they're doing positive things. I see them online all the time talking about positive things, talking about changing the youth mindset and all that stuff. So we'll be chopping it up with them in a little bit. And also, Teslin Figaro will be joining us, of course, with Front Page News. A lot to discuss. We got to send a rest in peace to a legend, and we'll talk about it next. So don't move. We'll get Charlamagne on the line. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got our guest co-host, Jess Hilarious, here with us this morning. What up, Jess?
Ain't nothing. What's up? What's up?
And let's get in some front page news. Teslin Figaro. Good morning, Tez.
Good morning, DJ Envy and Jess, who's not the guest co-host. She told me to stop calling her the guest.
You damn right. Put some respect on this name.
You damn right. Well, let's get in some front page news. We got to send a rest in peace to Tina Turner.
Yeah, we celebrate the life of, I like to say celebrate the life, you know, Tina Turner, the queen of rock and roll. She said that's exactly how she wants to be remembered, and we have no problem with that. She passed away peacefully at 83 years old at her home in Switzerland. And, you know, as we were all watching this happen and unfold, you know, folks kept, you know, kind of saying the same thing about, you know, her life and her legacy. And I found this really interesting. In 2016, she had her kidneys failed, and she was nearing death, and her husband, Erwin Bach, stepped in and donated his kidney to her to save her life. He said he did not want another woman. He said that basically he wanted to give her a gift. And so in 2019, after she recovered from that surgery and was feeling much better, this is what she had to say.
Yes, I'm 80. What did I think? How did I think I would be at 80? Oh, well, I look great. I feel good. I've gone through some very serious sicknesses that I'm overcoming. So it's like having a second chance at life. I'm happy to be an 80-year-old woman.
Mm. Yeah. So sad, man.
It is. Like,
You know, long life. 200 million records throughout her career. Mm-hmm. She retired in 2007. We all know about all of the challenges that she overcame. I'm going to check out her book. She has a book called Happiness Becomes You, A Guide to Changing Your Life for Good. And again, I thought I just really got kind of started digging into her relationship. And I thought it was really sweet that she said her husband has never been intimidated by her career, her talents, or her fame. He shows me that true love doesn't require the dimming of my light. So I thought it was just really interesting, their love story. And so we have time. Let's play a little sample of her iconic music.
Yes.
Secondary Emotion, right?
Much love got to do.
You know, it's crazy. Last night as I was DJing, like I said, I'm out here in Aruba. And the DJ before me started doing a Tina Turner set. And you just forget so many records that she sang and so many records that meant so much to you. So many records that my mom played as she was cleaning the house or as she was doing chores around the house, whatever it may be. So definitely rest in peace. Her life story. I know they did a couple of movies about it. So if you haven't got a chance, definitely check it out. And again, rest in peace to the icon, the legend, Tina Turner.
Let me say this right quick, just because we were talking about drivers, obviously, over the last couple of months. Well, not last couple, it feels like months, but the last couple of weeks. Her husband was a driver. He picked her up one night, and it was love at first sight. So he was sent to be her. Yeah, he was sent to be her driver. They were together 27 years. They were married for 10. And so, again, that book just really talks about how he was the best thing that she ever met. So
Wow. All right. Well, that is front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, call us up right now. Maybe you're working with somebody that's standing in front of the mic, but he just can't talk. Maybe that makes you upset. Maybe you're upset that when you look at the picture of him, all you see is a bunch of white men standing behind him. And maybe that's making you upset. I don't know. It seems like he's cheating on me. But anyway, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. What's what, Jess? What?
Oh, my God. Aruba got you turned up. Okay. I know that's right, boo.
Get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. Call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake it up.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Angel.
Hey, Angel. Good morning. Get it off your chest.
I'm just visiting the city because I'm a truck driver, and I swear no one prepared me for how city people be driving.
Horrible, huh?
Horrible, dude. I'm from, you know, Central Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere, and people out there, you know, drive with some level of courtesy. People out here just drive like they own the road.
Nah, they drive like they got somewhere to go. That's usually what it is. We're usually late and we got somewhere to go. And sometimes you truck drivers be driving a little
Fair
too
enough.
Slow, which is stupid because you guys can just really hit our car and kill us, but... I mean, that's what it is. And you know, the crazy thing about it is when we go out of town to other areas, especially in the South, yeah, we be beeping horns. We be having road rage because we feel like people just take their time. And we got places we need to go, bro.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm from Central Pennsylvania. I see New York plates and driving like that. I'm like, oh, nope, makes sense.
Damn. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's Jay from Georgia.
Hey, Jay from Georgia. Get it off your chest.
Man, I just want to say good morning to you, Envy. What up, Jess? How you doing?
I'm good.
Charlamagne. RIP to Tina Turner. I didn't know, man, how many hits. I think I was listening to the radio yesterday. She has hits on top of hits. But anyway, just want to say that, Jess.
Yes.
I love you on the show. I love how you match Charlamagne. Well, what do you say? Charlene the Gay?
Yeah,
the God.
Charlene the Goddess.
Can you guys add her to the show? Like, you is a perfect fit.
Thank you, babe.
So keep doing your thing, girl. Envy, I'm going to be at your car show.
Oh, dope. Can't wait to see you, brother.
All right, man. Y'all have a good day, man.
You too.
You too.
I will say this, though. The one thing that I love about Jess is not the reading. It's not that she's always on time. It's the fact that Jess is there with the BS. Jess don't care. She don't have no friends in this industry. She will shoot at me one day, then shoot at Charlamagne the other day, and then somebody else the other day. She don't care. She's 1,000% real, and that's the one thing I love about Jess.
Okay, because I was wondering where the hell you was going with this. I was like, dang. Because you know what? Thank you. I'm going to take props, and I'm going to head out.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
What's your name?
Nika.
Hey, Nika. Get it off your chest.
Good morning, Jess. Hope she was putting that fixture. I'm 45. I just bought my first piece of land. I'm proud of that.
Yes.
Came from the projects, still living in the projects, and trying to make a way for me and my family. Mm-hmm. So we just got an acre of land in the Catskills, and I'm building tiny homes for my family. So if you guys want help, you can share my Cash App.
What's your Cash App, Mama?
Nika,
NIKAH77. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to throw some money in your Cash App. I think what you're doing is amazing.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is the fact that you bought it and you're breaking it down and trying to explain to people, encourage people how to buy it as well. And that's all I was trying to do when I was doing those seminars. You just want people to start purchasing and buying their own home and teaching them how to.
Yeah.
Because that's the most important thing. So congratulations. And I'm going to throw some money in your Cash App, Mama.
Absolutely.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's a new day.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Wake up.
Whether you're mad or blessed.
It's time to get up and get something.
Call up now. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how you guys doing? This is Tyree from the 804.
How you doing?
What up, brother?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Very good.
Come on, Charlamagne, talk. They can hear you.
Can they hear me?
We can hear you.
Brother said, how you doing?
I don't know. Sometimes we act like this is a multi-million-dollar operation, and sometimes we don't. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know.
Well, it's working today. What's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Hey, well, check it out. A couple things I want to get off my chest. I want to say that, first off, for you, DJ Envy, I know you responding to Rick Ross and everything, and I totally get it. I'm 100% for it. However, when we do respond or stoop down to someone else's level, we tend to lose ourselves. So don't do it. Stay true to who you are. Secondly, I want to give a shout out to my brother.
Envy, why are you staring at the guy? Envy staring at him like you can see him.
I don't know what he want me to say. I mean, I think everybody knows I'm petty, but it is what it is. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hey, what's your name?
Hey, top of the morning, man. Santos.
What's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
I just wanted to give out everybody like a little advice, man. Like, I know things is hard and it might look crazy or it might look like it's not working out, but things work out, man. Trust me, it really do. They really do it with the work into it.
Oh, I agree with that. And if you stay around long enough to see things work out, that's why longevity is important.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yo, Envy, I just wanted to say,
yes,
man,
sir.
I'm dealing with this credit situation. I just need a little bit of help. That's it.
What's wrong with your credit?
I mean, I've been like, at first, it's no credit. Like, I've been working on it, but like, I just need a little bit of help. That's it. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a credit person, but, you know, I deal with Jose, the credit dude, who usually helps people with credit, and you should hit him up. I think it's the credit dude on Instagram, and he'll help you out with your credit. He'll tell you what you need to do. You just can't buy. Like, some people just buy things to fix their credit, and usually that doesn't work because it usually after a month or two it affects your credit again. He'll show you how to make sure that your credit stays high and continues to grow, which is what we all need. So definitely follow me on Instagram and then and tag me, and I'll set you up with the Jose the Credit Dude, brother. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Tim Gaines here from Delaware, Ohio. DJ Envy,
hey, Tim.
I'll meet my son down your way this weekend for your car show. He's coming from Dallas, Texas. I'm coming from Delaware, to Memphis. I was calling because I reserved VIP tickets.
Yes.
And I got a notice this morning on email that the money is being refunded due to a third party.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was hoping you can lead me in a direction where I can make it to the car show, you know, get in the gates, and, you know, I don't mind paying, but I'm not sure where to get the tickets from.
Yeah, okay, so let me explain what happened. I told you last week somebody took out a fake page on Eventbrite and was selling tickets to my car show that were fake. And it went through actually Eventbrite. So what they did was they created their own Eventbrite and was selling tickets to my car show. So after about 5 days of proving to Eventbrite who I was and that it was my event, they actually took that link down, and Eventbrite made that fake person give everybody their money back because I didn't want anybody to be scammed. So you could actually click the link in my bio for tickets, and if there is no VIP tickets available because I think they're sold out, you can just hit me on DM, and then I'll make sure Mercedes gets you what you need. But yeah, somebody was trying to scam. And I tell everybody, when you're buying tickets for everything, just be extra careful, because people are actually creating fake Eventbrite pages that looks identical to the ones that's through Eventbrite. And if the promoter or the person that's doing the event doesn't catch it, it's catching people with a lot of money. But luckily we were able to catch it and give everybody back their money. But like I said again, if you just go to the link in my bio, you could get tickets. And if you have a problem, just email me, and then I'll get you what you need, brother.
Well, I will. Thank you. You guys have a good day there.
All right. Look forward to seeing you and your son.
Yo.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. Now, Jess, with the mess, what we got? Give us a little tease.
So Chloe Bailey confirms that she is, in fact, Leonard's cousin. I said, okay, all right. Because Jason Lee was like, do you know that's your cousin? And she said, yeah, I know that's my cousin. And I was like, okay, cool.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Of course, we have Jess Hilarious in the building.
Yes, we do.
And let's get to Jess with the Mess.
Just for the mess of my youth.
Child, the ghetto.
This is the rumor report.
So my youth is real.
On The Breakfast Club.
Woo, honey, it's ghetto up in here. So yesterday was a sad day. We lost legendary singer Tina Turner. She passed away. She had kidney problems. Now, I know Tesla has spoke on her kidney problems briefly, but she kind of went into depth a little bit. She was diagnosed with hypertension back in 1978, so she's had issues for a while, and she said basically back in March that her hypertension has put her in great danger. And she also admitted that she didn't take proper care of herself and that she wished that she had. So I think there's a message in that for people. Y'all can learn from this. She admitted that she didn't take the best care of herself. We have to take care of ourselves. So I just want to start with that, because that was sad. You know what I mean? We think.
Yeah.
You know, and then for a lot of men, too. A lot of men don't go to the doctors. You know, they put that off. And I know just even experience just from when you get older. I mean, not experience having older parents. You know, when you get older, things don't work like they used to. You know, if you
feel
a little bit of pain, you got to go get it checked out, because it can be progressing and you don't know. And you can actually, you know, add more days to your life just going to check up on yourself. So please take care.
And that's real, Jess, because Tina Turner was 83. And if she said she wasn't, you know, taking proper care of herself, she lived to be 83.
Yes.
Imagine how much longer she might could have lived, because 83 is a great number. I'll take 83 all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she was so fit, y'all. But just because you look good don't mean you always, you know, feel good inside, you know. So just take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, cops do a welfare check. That's that damn accent. Y'all hear that? Welfare.
Don't let welfare kick your ass this morning,
Jess. Welfare. I know what. Cops do a welfare check on Ja Morant. Yesterday, fans were concerned for the basketball player after he posted some cryptic messages to his Instagram story. So He posted his mother saying, I love you, Ma. He posted his pops, I love you, pops. And to his baby girl, you're the greatest baby girl, I love you. And then the last was bye. So the thing is about that, people do these things, you know, when they're about to commit suicide. You know, oftentimes the police went over there because his friends and family were very, you know, they were
concerned.
Yeah, concerned about that. And the police had went over there to check on him. And he said he just meant that he was taking a break from social media and that he's okay. But
you know, when you just if you're gonna take a break from social media, just take the break from social media.
Just say that. You know what I'm saying?
But maybe he was thinking that and changed his mind. You know what I mean? Because even if you're taking a break on social media, you don't say bye mom, bye dad, and bye my daughter, right? Because you're gonna speak to them regardless. So maybe he was thinking that. Maybe he was thinking that and something changed his mind. Or maybe when the police came, he just didn't say what it was and that's how he felt. So
and that's why social media.
Say, you know what I mean? Because you just can't say it's social media. So I would just hope and pray that his father, his friends, his mother, his family show him a lot of love right now because you don't know what that man is going through. You know, people laugh and, oh, he had a gun again and he's stupid and this, that, and the other. But we don't know what he's going through. We don't know the pressure that he has. And people sometimes buckle under pressure. So, you know, continue to show that brother love. Yes, he's going to have to face the consequences for what he did. But that doesn't mean that we still can't show him love and make sure that he's all right mentally and physically.
That's real. And that's why social media is so dangerous, because whatever temporary emotion you feel and you run to social and express it. And when people get on social and start saying bye to people, of course folks going to think they suicidal. Of course you're going to get a welfare check.
Yeah. And honestly, Baltimore just lost one of their own. Chucky. Rest in peace to Chucky. Y'all don't know him, but that was actually somebody that everybody in Baltimore loved. He did the same thing over the weekend. He had said bye to everybody. He had two kids. He said bye to everybody. He did a rant. I was on stage when I got off. My brother was sad, Chucky just killed himself. And so this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And people take to social media because they feel like they have nobody at times. Nobody listens. So you have to check on your people.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn, that's sad. Right. Imagine that somebody get on social and do a rant like that and you can't even get to them in time.
Yep.
Right. You know, before they complete suicide. That's sad. Rest in peace to that brother, Chuck.
And their mind is already made up most of the time. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yep, that was Jess with the Mess. That's what I got.
You forgot to do the Chloe.
Drop on the clues bomb for Jess, damn it.
Oh, you know
what? We teased Chloe, though.
Teased Chloe, but you know what? I was feeling, you know, some emotions, you know, behind Tina Turner and then behind the whole John Morant thing, you know. But, yeah, now let's.
I was just happy you read good.
Now we got time if you want to do Chloe.
That's because I practiced. I knew y'all wasn't going to be here, so I got to bring this energy. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Okay. That's right, Jess.
You know, I'm holding down the fort while y'all doing, we all playing out there. All right. Now, Chloe Bailey, she confirmed that she was this man's cousin, so he is not lying. Let's clap it up. You know, he got a cousin. He got a cousin out there.
He got a cousin. What are you talking about?
All right, and we got some audio because she came for DJ Envy, too. Chloe Bailey came for DJ Envy a little bit, and it was friendly, but listen.
And seeing you do interviews, and you check my boy DJ Envy in such the nicest way, asking him if he heard your album, which we're going to talk about. Was that intense?
It was like my nice kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if, for people who watch the actual like whole interview, because Charlamagne's my actual cousin.
Really?
Yes. And
like blood?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Charlamagne set Envy up. That's crazy.
So the thing is, he kept coming for Charlamagne about like, oh, you didn't post her album. You didn't post her album. And I'm looking at him like, well, did you like the album? What's your favorite song? Yeah. Like, if we're going to check people, let's check everybody in the room.
Ooh, that's right. The that only thing with that is Envy ain't your cousin.
Nah, but I will say this for people that didn't listen to that full interview, we were joking the whole time. It was nothing serious. And a lot of people don't realize that's why when we have these interviews, sometimes we bring people in like Nyla. That's why we bring people in like Tez, because those are the people that listen to, let's say, like a Chloe Bailey or some of these newer artists that I might not listen to. Or when we have politicians sometimes, things that I might not know, or some things that Charlamagne might know. Yeah. We have somebody that's an expert at those things. Yeah. So let me ask you a question, Jess. Can you name two songs off Chloe Bailey's album?
Don't bring Jess in this. Why are you bringing Jess into this? You always try to bring somebody else into your mess.
Summer Breeze.
Jess, don't do it.
And Breakfast in Bed. That's track 8 and 9. They're nice.
That is not the name of them tracks. But I'll tell you one thing. What what Envy said is real, and that's why we have a club. That's why the Breakfast Club is actually a club. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if y'all expect me at my big age of 44, born in 1978, to stay up on all this new music, y'all crazy. Because when I get an email that says subject, vagina pink, booty hole brown, I ain't opening that email.
You ain't opening that song, right? You're not opening that song.
Your cousin ain't making that kind of music.
No, she not.
Okay, so you got to listen to that album. That's the moral.
I do like
story.
That new Summer Walker, though. That new Summer Walker. Ooh. Fire. Mm.
Ooh. All right.
I told that the other day. She told me, shut my bitch ass up.
Only because you
came in singing You a Strong Sister. And that's what I'm saying. He picked the wrong part. And I didn't even never hear the album yet. So he come here talking about, I'm a strong sister. I said, what shut your bitch ass up.
Jesus. All right. Well, that is Just with the Mess. When we come back, we got front page news with Tesla and Figaro. Oh, I hate y'all. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
With audio titles on business, career advice, fitness, and more, Audible keeps you inspired. Whatever you're looking for, check out all the audiobooks, podcasts, and originals you could ever want all in one place. Sign up for 30 days free at audible.com/breakfastclub.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got our co-host, Jess Hilarious, with us.
What's going on?
And let's get in some front page news. Tesla and Figaro, you back, Tez?
I am back.
All right, well, let's get it popping. Let's start with Ron DeSantis. What's going on?
Yeah, Twitter glitched during his much-hyped presidential announcement with Elon Musk. Let's listen to the report. We'll talk about it on the other side.
This evening's rollout on Twitter did begin with a technical issue and a crash. The event was delayed with those technical difficulties. In fact, this is what people heard when they logged on at 6 p.m. Eastern, which was the advertised start of the announcement.
Let's see. So, here we go. Yeah, I think so. Just to simplify that.
Well, it kept getting cut off. By the time it started, DeSantis made a joke that he broke the internet. Biden's campaign, while made light of DeSantis's tech troubles, tweeting, "This link works." And then the link went to a Biden fundraising page.
What are your thoughts on that, Tess?
They can laugh at the glitches, you know, all they want. But I listened to the entire thing. And of course, okay, it's funny, a glitch. But the bottom line is this man spent an hour having a very long, detailed conversation of that to his base. They were able to educate them. They were able to say things. One of the actual co-hosts said that they look at Ron DeSantis as a cool-headed, ruthless assassin to take on the woke mob. So it was an hour-long conversation of saying, you know, this is what they need to do to get rid of, you know, many things that he's already talked about, such as, you know, banning books and ending diversity programs. And so it was a real time, you know, to educate their base. And it was, it actually made me very upset, Charlamagne, to be honest with you. You know, but I've been talking for years about how, you know, I wish we used, shout out to the Breakfast Club for using their platform, you know, to educate our voters. And I just don't think that we do that enough. And I'm not talking about Democrat or Republican. I'm talking about just black people in general. They talked about education. They talked about transportation. They talked about immigration. They even talked about Bitcoin, which is something that you don't normally hear, you know, in the mainstream media. So they can laugh at this if they want to. But the bottom line is Democrats shouldn't be laughing and should be focusing on why he has $200 million that they're going to spend on 2,600 field organizers knocking on doors. 2,600 is a very large amount, you know, to be having folks out there pushing their message. And so they should absolutely be concerned.
Tez, I agree with you 100%. And I think it's strange that they would bring so much attention to his Twitter space by talking about the glitch. But I didn't see anybody, you know, pushing back on the things that you just said. Like, they should be presenting their policies after you hear Ron DeSantis present his for an hour. I don't hear none of that. Everybody's just trying to clown him for the glitch, but all you're doing is bringing attention to all of the things that you just said.
Now, like Tess said, they're laughing and they're joking about the small things, but the things that they should be talking about, they're not discussing. And it seems like, especially with the Democratic Party, that's what it always happens.
Yeah, tell me what y'all doing. Ron just told us what he's doing for an hour. Tell me what y'all doing.
That's
instead
right.
Of telling me about his glitch.
And it's not funny. You know, like, okay, it's all jokes and, you know, Biden sending out, hey, this link works. You know, let's donate. No, squash that. Like, real stuff was, I mean, substantive stuff, Charlamagne, seriously. And when you compare DeSantis to Trump, which people have heard this many times before, DeSantis actually knows how to govern. You know, he's actually, he was able to present receipts. And when I say know how to govern, I'm not saying I agree with his policies. I'm saying he knows how to work around the system. He knows how to get things done, even if I completely disagree. And he laid out all of those receipts. So when you compare him to Trump, it is night and day as far as substance is concerned. And it's some stuff that is I mean, some stuff that people really need to be concerned about. I'm going to put this on the record again, Charlamagne. I've said this before. I would love to see a versus. How can we get a versus? How do we use our platforms to discuss these issues? What are we going to do to have something modern, to have something to say, hey, let's have some black conservatives, some black liberals, whatever people of color, whatever y'all want to call it nowadays, to actually inform our people to have these discussions. We cannot continue to keep depending on 60-second clips and funny jokes and Instagram without strapping people with the information that they need to know. So I want to put it on the record at the Breakfast Club, Timberland. Let's do this for the culture. Let's educate our folks. We are here in the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. We have major platforms, and the only way that people seem to use hip-hop is music and fun and games and getting out to vote, and we've got to educate our folks. That's my get it off of your chest for today.
Taz, I agree with you, because you represent the constituents. You're not on the right, you're not on the left. All you want is information. You sat there and listened to that Twitter space yesterday, and you got information, and I don't see the other side, the Democrats, presenting no alternate information. They should have been presenting alternate information immediately to what DeSantis said, because whether they want to believe it or not, this is campaign season. They're going to be in a fight next year.
All right. Well, that is front page news. Now, Teslin, we appreciate you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And make sure you check out the Straight Shot No Chaser podcast from Teslin Figueroa on the Black Effect iHeartRadio Podcast Network.
All right. And everybody else, when we come back, Tony Lewis Sr. and Tony Lewis Jr. will be joining us. Now, the brother Tony Lewis Sr. did 34 years in prison, but finally was released from the help from his son. And we'll talk about it when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
This interview, but we got Tony Lewis Sr. and Tony Lewis Jr.
You've been paying attention to their journey, and you know we're about to have a great conversation. How y'all brothers doing, man?
Amazing, man.
Amazing.
Tell them the story that you've been telling for all these years, Tony.
Yeah, man. My father went away when I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Got life without parole. You know, that journey lasted 34 years through tirelessly fighting for his freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, coming up here 5 years ago, you know, doing stuff all across the country, doing stuff in D.C., but also utilizing our struggle to help, you know, so many other families that was in a similar situation, mm-hmm. Being inspiration and hope. And then finally, you know, due to so much advocacy, my brother Pusha T connected me with Brittany K. Barnett, who I call our modern day Harriet Tubman, mm-hmm. And her organization, Buried Alive Project. Yeah, Buried Alive. Shout out to people like Corey Jacobs, who also a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Randa Jones.
Yes, Randa Jones. Yeah. And eventually that unlocked those gates, and 65 days ago, my father stepped out of federal prison. Mm.
Have you adjusted yet, my brother?
I'm trying. Yeah, it's getting there. The technology. That's kind of the whole city's change, gentrification, mm-hmm. yeah. or white people. What happened to Black DC?
Dang,
man.
I think it's any like context for that though, really, mm-hmm. right? We live in the most gentrified place in America.
Yeah.
DC? DC, and five years ago when I was up here, I talked a bit about that, right? Mm-hmm. But he left in 1989, 34 years ago. So
it was really chocolate city.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And our block, man, like our neighborhood, everything has just really changed a lot. So for him to walk into that is that's all. Yeah. And where is everybody also who were there before? That's the other question, you know?
I can definitely tell that he's still like, hold up, what's going on? Because even when I walked up to him and spoke to me, like, y'all, you might want to chill out, relax. No. Don't walk up all happy like that. You know, but you can give me a hug. And look, you know, he don't even give hugs regular. Right. He like, nah, don't touch too much. Hey. And then he'd put the two fingers on the back like, tap, tap. All right, now back off, you know what I mean?
Hey, Charlamagne, I was telling her, I'm watching her from prison. I know who she was.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that. Big fan of hers.
I love
funny
that.
As hell.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the story a little bit, man. Tony Sr., you served 34 years for your role in one of the largest, most notorious crack cocaine crime rings in that region. Like, what got you into the game?
Poverty. Mm. Single parent household. Back in my our whole street was basically, that's what it was, at least on my side of the street.
Right.
Welfare, poverty, drugs, violence, the whole block. Mm-hmm. That's all you knew. That's all you saw.
Mm-hmm.
That was the job. Like, you know, like people say about getting a job. That was the job. We knew nothing else. Mm-hmm. So it was a culture. And the poverty is what led to me selling drugs and, you know, trying to help my family, mother, single parent, sisters, brothers, friends. And it just grew. And you as a culture, you know what I'm saying? And
did you ever think it was going to get that big? Because y'all, you know, I always say in the 80s, y'all were like early investors in like a tech company or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like y'all were the ones who really, really got it.
Yeah, I never set forth in it to become big or drug. I was trying to just survive, help my family eat, mom pay the bills. Mm-hmm. You know, like gas get cut off from time to time. The welfare check ain't last, you know, like it, you know. So that's where I got in. And you know, like I said, it was a culture and I always worked hard at whatever I did. So selling drugs, I worked hard and I came up and I worked hard and I seen the money and it kept, you know, wanting to get more and more. But not to glorify it at all. But back then, that was the culture.
What's the most you had at one time?
I had a few million. In cash,
damn.
You know, and back then that was a lot. You know, I know now it's a little less, but yeah, got to get a few million in my early 20s. Wound up getting arrested at 26, and that was it.
Yeah,
done.
That was it.
Until you had like 2 years of balling, a year balling.
No, actually more than, because I started like when I was 14. You know, but it's, of course, small stuff, and you know, but the big stuff came, you know, later, money wise and everything else. But marijuana from the beginning, and you know, stuff like, you know, small stuff like that. But then I blocked, you know, turned from the marijuana to cocaine.
Right.
Not my making, you know, other people making, but
Ronald Reagan. Thing.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan, CIA,
couple we million. Right there too.
Yeah,
right?
Million.
Wow. You see the dome of the Capitol. We 10 blocks, 12 blocks from the Capitol, where our street is. You feel what I'm saying? And I think that really is, it's something to that though, to say that, right?
Yeah.
And you can stand on our block on any corner in DC and the presidential motorcade might ride by, like in a literal sense. Yeah. That is the backdrop to, you know, our story. And I grew up on that same block.
Same block.
And in a more even deadlier time. Because now we in the heart of the crack epidemic. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. When I'm coming up in the 90s, you know what I mean? And we the murder capital of the United States. And, you know, it's just like complete destruction and just desperation. And I'm just so happy that I had him from prison. It's crazy too, because when they got locked up, man, you know, being 9 years old, I'm the only child, you know what I'm saying? From the court stuff is on the news every day. Then they was getting preferential treatment at DC jail, so they go to Quantico Marine Base.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you go visit at the cell. Like, we had the Marine Base, M16s and Marines. It's not a prison. And that's embedded in my brain to this day. Then you go shipped out to Long Park, California for the next 13 years.
Right.
And I'm just sharing that to talk about how that is. And I'm on that block. He 3,000 miles away. My mother started to deal with severe mental illness that she still, you know, battles to this day. So I lost both my parents in the way that I had them prior and had to navigate through that. But I had him on the other end of that phone and them letters, you know, every day telling me to, like, make better choices, you know, doing everything that he could from prison to ensure that I don't follow in them same footsteps. But at the end of the day, I'm growing up in the exact same thing. That's why I wake up feeling like the luckiest man alive.
And even with all of that, you could have still took another turn. What made you not turn Tariq St. Patrick with all this?
Yeah, for real. Listen, you know, when I be watching that joint though, like for real though, all jokes aside, when I be, because where we come from, it ain't nothing else. Just like it's nothing else. All my uncles, all his friends, them people ain't leave with him. They were still around, and people did give me, you know, so much information of like slug. That's what everybody called my slug. Do something different. You got something different. I had a strong grandmother, my aunts, you know, and other dudes in the community in general just wanted me to do something different, but nobody could show me how. That's where the problem came in. Do something different, but who else?
All this pressure on you.
So that's what. Yeah, but I was able to, you know, by the grace of God, I was able to kind of, you know, find my way. But what really saved me, it wasn't linear like that though. Just what happened was when I was about 20, I still ain't, you know what I mean? What am I gonna do? I don't, you know, but I got a job doing peer-to-peer violence interruption. Like a job, basically, the people closest to the problem that can reach their peers. You know what I mean? I fell in love with the work. And that saved my life. That's what really, you know what I mean, put me on this path that I've been on for the last 23 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As an activist, aside from, you know, getting them out of jail, but being sort of the leading voice. I stand at the intersection of, like, poverty, mass incarceration, and gun violence in my city.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, we got more with Tony Lewis Sr. and Tony Lewis Jr. when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, yesterday, we got a chance to chop it up with Tony Lewis Sr. and Tony Lewis Jr. I wasn't there. I'm out of the country. But Charlamagne and Jess Hilarious held it down. Charlamagne.
What was the turning point in the like the Free Tony Lewis movement? Like, when did you start seeing hope?
I always felt like I was going to make it happen. But the biggest turning point, you know, through the years, like people like my brother Wale, a lot of other guys, you know, helping and pushing.
But when Pusha
introduces us to Brittany Barnett, when Pusha makes that intro, he made the song Coming Home with Long Hill, which he mentions pops in. That's when her legal prowess, and then she connected with a law firm, Aaron Fox Schiff in D.C., represent him. I felt hopeful. But look, the first motion that she files, though, his judge, he gets denied for it, though. You know, when I did the Free Tony Lewis rally, we got like 1,000 people out in D.C. At Black Lives Matter Plaza. And we filed a motion after that. And that motion get denied. I was like, man. But Brady was like, nah, it's all right. Tone, we going back in.
Yeah.
And we just kept pushing. You know what I mean? I kept bugging, you know, you and everybody else. Like, let me come up. Let me talk about trying to, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I felt like, I've started a family, man. You know, now I grew up, right? But also, I got married. I, you know what I'm saying? My two daughters. And I ain't want my babies keep visiting no federal prison.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What was the legislation that actually got his sentence overturned?
The First Step Act.
First Step Act.
Okay.
And it was a Trump-era reform. And, you know, again, back 5 years ago in the interview, I was in, you know, because I helped advocate for that as well, right? But at the time, we didn't even think that he would be able to benefit from the First Step Act. But obviously, other stuff that that I advocated for, you know, was about not us. It was about the great and other American families all across this country to benefit, you know what I'm saying? So the First Step Act, you know, shout out to you know, Cut 50, Dream Corps, Van Jones, and all that crew. And Hakeem Jeffries also who introduced the bill, but Trump signed it into law. Probably like 20,000 people have come home off that reform, and you know something that's really really important to us and what we plan on working on together moving forward. We actually got a meeting tomorrow in the same vein is that you know the Biden administration.
Joe Biden. President Biden, listen up.
Yeah, man.
Listen up.
Very inactive, I think, when it comes
on this issue. Right, he's the architect of our current system, right?
Absolutely.
Right, but check this out. So infrastructure, you know, these things he ran on. Infrastructure, did that. Computer chips, did that. Climate change, did that. Gun control to the extent that he could impact that.
For executive order, did that.
Student loan debt to a certain degree, did that. But this, Mr. Biden, is your issue. This is you can do by executive order. You do not need congressional collaboration to do this.
Really?
Right? No, by executive order. Yeah. He has power the clemency to power. Power to pen.
Oh, yeah, that's
right?
The easiest and the best part. Right,
and we need you to do that. We need you to commute sentences. We need you to reunite American families like ours. The joy that we feel in, you know, just to be reconnected.
Because all of this is on him directly.
Oh, it's his.
The 86 mandatory minimum sentencing, the 88 crack laws, 94 crime bills.
Right, absolutely. Joe. Like, for real. Like, it's his to do, and it's time to do it. I went to an event at the Justice Department. What was that, Pop? About 3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago we went.
And then I say this all, like, I'm glad that those 31 families have been reunited.
But come on, man. Only 31 pardons or commutations.
Come on.
31, you got thousands of people languishing under these hard sentences, man, for crack cocaine and mandatory minimum
sentences.
And they've
done their time.
That's the point. More than their time.
Right, so it's not like it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. We're talking about people that have done 25, 30, 35 years.
Probably need to know they've done their time, more than their time.
Should have never got that much time.
The reason I think Biden should make this a main issue is because, number one, he was the architect of all of those bills, but he's admitted to it. Like when we had him on Breakfast Club, you know, people always get caught up in the "you ain't black" comment, but there was a moment when I'm talking to him about righting his wrongs of mass incarceration, you know, with the 94 crime bill. And he was like, "It wasn't the 94 crime bill; it was the 86 mandatory minimum sentence."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You wrote that
even
too?"
That conversation happened in the interview. And what you get out of that is the destabilization. In my opinion, the greatest destabilization or the destabilizer of in communities like ours, no matter who lives there, right? If you got it took people out of the community, yes, people should have been held accountable. Even in the Free Tony Lewis movement, I never said he wasn't no political prison. I never was like, he shouldn't have never went to jail. His ass should have went to jail, but just not for that.
That's real. I should have went to prison.
Like
I'm mad enough to accept my responsibility.
Right.
I should have went to prison,
that.
But not for the rest of my life, man.
And it's like one of those situations where you can really do that. It should be a criteria. The other thing is,
people should not have to go before these judges, and it, depending on what side of the bed they woke up on, your freedom is based on that.
Right. Yeah.
It should be, if you did this amount of time, you've shown rehabilitation, you should do it. The other part of it, though, for President Biden and VP Harris, listen, not only should people be reunited with their families, but you guys should take the steps to make the federal workforce, which I'm a part of, the federal workforce, a model for second chance hiring. See, we gotta clear up some of these burdens. My father did 34 years, but there's still places he can't work and can't live.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Right.
I mean, so
you still technically in, you know, in some type of way.
Exactly.
There's no question about it. Yeah. And if he don't got me, right? You know, to navigate this new world after 34 years, you know what I'm saying? And trying to find your way. But I work in it. I deal with guys who don't have a me, who don't have stability. They got to release to homeless shelters and jobs that they qualify for but can't get them after serving their debt to society. Like, we need to really foster a culture of redemption. You know, if we really want public safety, if we really want communities to thrive and things of that nature. Right. And I think the this administration should lead with that on both fronts.
I agree.
Yeah, and it need to happen like now.
All right, we got more with Tony Lewis Sr. and Tony Lewis Jr. when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, yesterday we got a chance to chop it up with Tony Lewis Sr. and Tony Lewis Jr. I wasn't there. I'm out of the country, but Charlamagne and Jess Hilarious held it down. Charlamagne.
Mr. Lewis Sr., how did you feel watching your son, your namesake, be out here fighting for you, man, in that way?
That's what kept me going, man. So much pride, so much joy. I get emotional, man, because it's hard for me to explain, but me and my son, we talk about it all the time. So many different experiences. Guys coming in prison. Man, your son helped me get a job. But I messed up because I went back on drugs. But he helped me. Then at the end, I'm ready to get out next month. Can you hook me back up with him? I was like, man, I'll give him your name. But my son be remembering these guys, man. And also, I read your son's book. It inspired me so much. You know, Slug. You know, his book, Slug. Just a wonderful life guide, you know, especially for us and our coming up in the same hood and the black community. But just so much inspiration. I'm so proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
And to top it off, we're getting his dad free, because he didn't help to get a lot of other people free. And I was like, son, where did they go get me?
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of things that he tried to, legislation he tried to get changed or enacted, we was always looking at it, thinking it was going to help us, like drug minus two.
That was the first thing we said we got denied. I mean, the drugs minus two thing was something was very, you know.
And we was almost
sure. Drug minus two?
It was the legislation that, well, the Sentence Commission passed an enactment saying that all drugs, you was eligible for a 2-point reduction no matter what the drugs was or what the amount was.
To combat the 86 mandatory minimums.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was something.
So, and everybody was benefiting. So we put our motion in and said, oh, you was fighting for that, son. The dad should get it. Put the motion in. Judge, get it. Deny how? Oh, you had too much crack cocaine. Too much. Y'all said all drugs minus two, no matter what. But for me, it was always some technicality that, you know, even the first crack cocaine, it was 2 points minus two. That was separate from the two points minus drugs. But the crack one, we got denied on that too. You know what I'm saying? So
it's been multiple things that, you know, and actually on the, like, the drug minus two, again, you know, shout out to, you know, the pusher. He helped. We did it right. I spoke about that when I was up here 5 years ago. But even, you know, for context for a lot of the listeners, like you know, a lot of people heard, like, Big Meech got a reduction. That's what he got.
Yeah, Big Meech got a 2-point reduction.
Based on the 2-point reduction.
Gotcha.
He got the 2-point, you know what I'm saying? So something that we helped push through, you know,
yeah,
like
Brittany,
that.
Brittany got the 2-point for him.
Brittany was his attorney as well.
Wow.
Yeah,
Big Meech, because she hit me and said, I got Big Meech. I think he got, like, off the 2 points, maybe 7 years off his sentence.
Yeah.
Got six left.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they denied me, you know, for the same thing. But
why was you the only person still serving time?
That's what we was trying to figure out, you know? That's what we was trying to figure out. Why was I the only? Everybody was like, every time I call home, call friends, like, Tom, what the fuck? Why they letting all your Cody defenders gone? Why are you the only one? Yeah, why are you the only one? I'm like, man, I'm fighting. That's all I can say. I don't know why I'm the only one.
Well, because they looked at you as the leader? Kingpin?
Yeah.
Well, with him, Rayford Edmonds.
Rayford Edmonds,
But you know what he did? So he was already set to come home whenever, no matter what. But, I had to fight. My son had to. If it don't be for my son, I'd be still languishing in prison. Yeah. You know,
When you watch the shows like the Snowfalls and the BML, because I heard you say earlier you don't want to glorify it, but how do you tell your story without glorifying it?
Right. See, I tell the story, But then even the middle at the end, I say, I'm not glorifying what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
I got to tell the truth, you know, good or bad. But still, I'm not glorifying. If I had to do it all, if I had the opportunity to do it all different, I would do it different. I wouldn't sell drugs. I wouldn't have broken the law.
Yeah.
I would have tried to find another way, but...
But I'm gonna say I'm gonna say this though. All them up, them other stories, and I say it's all deference and humility. But all them other stories ain't got a me.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the difference.
Yeah.
Like and it's fiction, but I'm saying it's like I'm with Vito wanting Michael to become. Mm-hmm. Like I'm this the Godfather in real life. This I took the family legit. You ain't got this in them other stores.
That's real. Yeah.
And that's serious. And not to mention, you know, I climbed the crooked ladder and sent back down the straight one. In my city, you know what I'm saying? You'd be hard pressed to find somebody that's helped more people.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people from this circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
People all through federal prison, DC guys, when they come home, they say, I gotta see Tony Lewis Jr. because he gonna help me.
Yeah.
And that's real. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part that sometimes
they hound me every day in prison. When every time that somebody get ready to get out 6 months before, they might ain't said nothing to me the whole time they been in the unit. Tony, I've been meaning to talk to you, man. What your son still helping people get them jobs?
Mm.
I said, yeah, he's still helping people. Man, could you hook me? Here got my information. Can you? I said, I'll see what I can do. But I said, I'm watching your action. And I tell a lot of times when I see how you moving here, and then you come to me to try to get me to reference you to my son. But I've been seeing how you've been moving, and if you ain't moving the right way, I'm not doing that.
That's no waste of time.
My son's name goes on everything that he does when he connected and trying to get people employment or housing or you know or whatever the case may be. And I'm not putting no bad people when I've been watching you for the last year or two moving in here the way that you move. I can't do that.
This is going to be like the biggest thing for your daughters though.
Yeah.
Like seeing that they 6 and 9, you said.
Yeah.
Seeing that, you know what I'm saying? Just like their standards are going to be so high for these black men.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And that's really, really good.
Yeah.
Like you could have, like, I'm serious, you could have really went another way with this, you know, but your daughters are gonna always you're a king. Yeah. You're gonna be a king, you know, to them for the rest of their life.
And they got granddaddy back.
Babysitting them, going to school with them, going to gymnastic practice,
doing all
just
that.
Everything, anything they want, pop up here, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
This is what I dreamt about.
Did they provide you with any resources, like mental health resources, for, you know, to help you adjust? And I'm sure you got PTSD that you're dealing with. Like, I can imagine.
It's like, you know, I know that the city has those things, but you got to go and... you got to go and try to get them. It's not like how it should be that the minute you hit that, look, just come on over here.
We have access to them, and we going to engage them too.
Yeah,
and again, I've been part of that ecosystem.
That's the
help build that ecosystem. So we, you know, the program that I, you know, designed it. You know, we had a joint with everybody. You do, whether you break a local law, federal law, you do go to the feds in D.C. But we don't even have a halfway house now. So our halfway house is actually people go to Baltimore. But a program I did out there with Angel, the bedrock of the program was 1-on-1 therapy. That's really, you know, I want us to do family therapy. We just been running around the first 60 days, but that's definitely a part of it, right? And I salute, I appreciate, you know, all the push you've been doing wellness and mental health. You know, as growing up as a kid with a mom that dealt with mental health. And I'm the only, like I said, I'm the only child. I went through all that with my mother and to this day, right? I understand the value of that, and to destigmatize that for our community is so important, to make it accessible and affordable and to make you not crazy. Like, we all need, I tell youngers all the time, when you break your ankle, you be hooping. If you break your ankle, you can just go in the house and just lay on the bed and let that joint heal. Now you go to the doctor.
That's right.
So we got to look at mental health in that same way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something that we know is necessary in the trauma that black men and women all across this country has experienced via incarceration is something I think that's definitely something that we don't talk about enough.
What's next for y'all, man?
And the Don't Get Taken movement, anti-incarceration, anti-violence movement. Don't get taken.
What's
to all
mean?
The youngins out there, exactly that. You know, don't put yourself in a position where you get taken either from the community via criminal justice system or, you know, obviously the cemetery, too much violence and carjacking.
You gotta put the guns down, young people. We gotta put the guns down.
Well, Pop, what you always say? You can't tell them the word.
We can't ask them to put the guns down without picking something up.
And it
gotta be a job or training or some type of more opportunity. And I always say this to our good mayor, Mayor Bowser, and the DC City Council, We need more opportunities. The young people need more opportunities, more jobs, more training. If we want to put the guns down,
they've been in trouble. That's the other part, just to the barrier piece, in D.C. and everywhere else. If people made a mistake, they paid their debt. We cannot continue to hold them, like, put that a scarlet letter on them, and they can't engage. Because then the cities or the counties or the towns, whatever, create these opportunities. But if you got a criminal record, you can't do it. That's who you think needed the most.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Right. Appreciate y'all for
the word, man. Y'all. Hey, Tony Lewis Jr., Tony Lewis Sr., Tony, man, I've always respected the work you do, and now I'm glad you got your father out here doing it with you, man.
Yes.
Yeah, man. We appreciate y'all.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Just hilarious. Now, I'm broadcasting out in Aruba. Shout out to everybody out in Aruba. I'm about to catch my flight to head back. They do this event each and every year. It's actually Sinbad's brother. You know the brother Sinbad. His brother, they do this event every year. And now he continued on, and he's doing it. And I asked him about Sinbad. He says Sinbad is doing well, that he wants to come on the Breakfast Club. It has to be via Zoom soon. So we can't wait to talk to the OG Sinbad, all right?
Yeah, send the healing energy to the legend Sinbad always.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get to the Just With The Mess.
It's Just With The Mess. Am I
Just
using
mess.
Real?
Child, the ghetto.
This is The Rumor Report.
Am I using real?
On The Breakfast Club.
Ooh, honey, it's ghetto up in here.
Yes, it's ghetto up in here. Y'all know I say that when some ghetto-ish comes about. Nicki Minaj and Young Miami get into Twitter beef over borrowed catchphrase. All right, yesterday Nicki had time. Young Miami posted to Twitter promoting her upcoming episode of Carisha Please featuring Summer Walker, so that should be a good one. In the promotional message, she said her and Summer got some things to get into. No, let me quote it right. Got into some things. Because this is what Nicki got upset about. Nicki saw the tweet and was not feeling it because she claims that getting to some things is her catchphrase that she's known for using on Queen Radio. Right? Now, Young Miami clapped back and told Nicki, getting to some things is a well-known phrase used in the gay community, but Nicki was not buying it. Right? Now, this is annoying to me because,
Why is it annoying?
Because nobody makes up words. Like, nobody makes up words, yo. And then, honestly, it's like, all right, if you even did say that first, got into some things or get into some things, what if somebody else said it that wasn't Young Miami, would it be said to them? And then, in the other grand scheme of things, that's like Carisha and JT getting mad at somebody for saying period. They didn't make up the word period. They just made it cooler and more trendier to say to anything.
I would say period is more of a staple than getting into some things. I've been hearing people say getting into some things forever.
I don't think period is more of a
popular catchphrase, I would say.
I don't think the gay community made that up, but I think that we do hear them say that a lot, getting into some things or sip the tea or, you know. So, I ain't had to do the mannerisms. My bad, y'all. I'm trying to mimic y'all too much. Charlamagne, what they be doing?
Getting into some things.
Yeah, things.
But let me ask y'all, have y'all heard Nicki's show to see if that's what she does? Because she might do it all the time, and that's like her thing. You know what I mean?
I've heard her say it. She do say, getting into some things, child. She do say that, but I guarantee you, I highly doubt that Carisha was really channeling, you know, or trying to trigger Nicki when she said that, you know. So
was Nicki serious? Well, she wasn't playing with this? This was a serious thing?
I hope that she was playing, but I do think that she was serious. Young Miami, she just was like, bring me on Queen Radio. You know what I mean? And then Nicki starts, you know, Nicki talks like she types sometimes like she writing a screenplay. Because listen to this. She said, hits Diddy to advise him that a young lady on a show that appears on his network seems to have borrowed a very popular Queen Radio catchphrase. Puff, who is representing you these days, child. I got my S drafted in my head, B. Like, sometimes you got to read her stuff slow. Because I think y'all and y'all already saying I can't read. Y'all need to tell Nicki to just make videos. Stop tweeting, girl. Just make the videos. Because it's a lot of back and forth that she got going on. So she said she called up Diddy. She said Diddy called her frantically, but she, like, didn't answer the phone. And, like, you know, she put a little subliminals out there. And I think Carisha is, like, just trying to stay above it. But it's the picking.
I know that would be a good-ass Carisha Please episode.
It Nicki would be Minaj, a great ass.
Man.
It would be great. And it would be a good Queen radio show, too. So,
I'll be honest. I don't care. I really prefer them to do music. I want them to do music. How about that?
Period.
How about both of them do a record together? You know what I mean?
Period.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
Period.
I like that, too. But I do like Carisha Please.
Period.
I do. Period. So I do care about Carisha
Period.
Please.
Okay.
Yo, chill. All right. Okay.
Oh, perfect example. Let's say somebody else started their show with yo.
I did not invent that. That's Flavor Flav might get the credit for that.
You stole it from Flav. Okay, I got it.
No way.
All right, so moving on. Danaea Jackson. All right, so yes, we talked about her and her former husband, who was the former relationship expert, Derek Jackson. And she was saying yesterday, we reported on a story that she was saying that she knew her body. She knew other women's bodies better than she knew her own because of her husband's cheating. And we have some audio for that.
I knew several other women's bodies better than I knew my own. I went in such a deep hole where I was like studying these women. I would go to their profiles and I would study their pages and like what they wear. I knew when they were when they had met up. So I watched their videos of them having sex. So I would try to imitate that and recreate that in our relationships so that he could choose me. And want me. And so I completely lost myself. I became a shell of myself. I tried to imitate their hair, their actions.
Okay, all right. You know, we can cut that. No, because we were sad for her yesterday. We not sad. We want to laugh at you today.
What's wrong with you, Jess?
No, I don't care because we need to stop coddling women. You see, Ebony said stop coddling men. We need to stop coddling as a woman. We need to stop coddling these women when they are... They fall so deep in delusion and then they try to play it on, you know, faith in God. Oh, no, my marriage. You're supposed to work at your marriage. You're not supposed to walk away from your husband. God don't want us to be delusionally stupid either. We're not supposed to devalue ourselves and minimize ourselves just to make somebody else feel good.
But let me ask you a question, Jess. Doesn't it seem like she has low self-esteem that, and I don't know the relationship, that it seems like he put her down so much that she wants to mimic what he likes, so when she sees him liking other women's hairstyles, the way other women dresses, she is so, her self-esteem is so low that she wants to be what those other women are.
I don't know what it was like when he met her, but I'm telling you, he the one that made her dress like Little House on the Prairie. Like she,
you know,
and then he bringing all these nice girls with stripper bodies and she's sitting on the steps talking about, please Lord, make it stop. You talking to the wrong man. You know
so where
saying?
Does she go from here, Jess? Where does she go from here?
She also said that she was crying and she was saying, "Dear Holy Spirit, I hate his stinking guts. If you praying like that, ain't nothing going to ever happen." You know what I mean? I feel like right now, this man might have just made her a hoe. You know
what?
Excuse me. He might have made. Well, can I say that?
Yes.
He might have made her a hoe.
Now, explain. How's she going from a Little House on the Prairie to a Little Hole on the Prairie? Now, explain.
Because think about everything that he made her watch, everything that she's seen. She about to go outwork that little box. You know what I mean? And she looked good on the interview. She probably she finally took them thick glasses off. She took them. She used to wear like two hats at a time. She took both of them off.
You know
she
what
not
it reminded me of?
With the long dresses, she looked good.
It reminds me of, and y'all laughing because I just seen it on my way to Aruba. I never seen Girls Trip, so I seen it on my way here. But it reminds me of Jada Pinkett in Girls Trip, how she was so this, that, and the other, and then she got down to New Orleans and just started busting it.
So you saying the next prayer retreat gonna be popping, huh, Jess?
That's gonna be popping.
And then Dark gonna want a bet.
You know what I learned from all these situations? You really can't judge a book by its cover. You shouldn't judge someone or something based only on what you see on the outside or only on what you perceive without knowing the full situation. Because y'all don't know none of these souls on social media, but you think you do. And the folks you think are good are usually bad, and the folks who you think are bad are usually good.
Yep.
But y'all don't know the difference.
Nope.
Well, you know what it is, too, is a lot of times when people talk about their bad, people make fun of them, they joke them, but people are actually trying to tell them the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that comes with the relationship, because like we say, no relationship is perfect. Everything happens. Like there's not one person that can sit there and say, Charlamagne, you and your wife are always good, or you and Jess, your man, are always good. No, things happen. Like and we have to discuss those things to make it normal.
You're right.
Yes.
You're so right.
Yes.
I don't want her to
anymore. You don't want her to be dumb.
I just
dumb
don't
no
want
like
her to be dumb anymore. She's too stupid. Beautiful for that. She's a beautiful black woman too. So it's a king out there for you, girl. And that's Jess with the mess for today.
And her news is real, allegedly.
All right. Thank you, Jess, with the mess. Now, Charlamagne, who are you giving that down to?
Oh, man, I need the young brother, Polo G, to come to the front of the congregation. We need to have a word with him. It's a teachable moment, though. I'm doing this with love.
All right. We'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Did you hear? There's a new streaming service called Max. With everything on HBO Max, including HBO, the DC Universe, Discovery, and more, Max really has some of the best content. There's literally something for everyone in your household. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Don't be out here acting like a donkey.
Hee-haw, bitch. Hee-haw.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I'm a big boy. I can take it. If he feel I deserve it, ain't no big deal.
I know Charlamagne guy gonna have some funny shit to say out his mouth.
If you gotta say something you may not agree with, doesn't mean I'm mean.
Who's getting that donkey?
That donkey. That donkey.
Donkey of the Day right there.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You can call me the Donkey of the Day, but, like, I mean no harm.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, May 25th goes to the good brother Polo G. Let me tell you something, man. I got love for the young brother Polo G. I got mad love for Polo G's family, his mother, Station Mac. Drop on the clues bombs for Station Mac. One of the best managers, businesswoman out here. I love what they do. I love what they building. And that's why I have to give Polo G the biggest hee-haw today, because I can't believe he would risk all that they've built for a bunch of people on social media who don't give a damn about him and would love to see him lose it all. Okay, not only am I disappointed, this is a teachable moment, because Polo G is one of the smart ones. But Polo G, I don't need you to be smart. I need you to be wise, okay? What are you talking about, Uncle Sharla? Well, yesterday I came across a video on XXL, and it had the headline, Polo G says he's the only rapper walking around with no security. Those have been famous last words for a lot of folks. Let's go to the Instagram for the report, please.
Walking down the strip, I got long things, man. I ain't lacking, though. Glister on my hip, I ain't lacking, though. My kids. Know this how I'm coming. I'm the only rapper you know. Pop out Dolo, no security. My baby.
Oh, God. Maybe play it one more time for people who couldn't understand him. Play it one more time.
Walking down the strip, I got long things, man. I ain't lacking, though. Glister on my hip, I ain't lacking, though. My kids. Know this how I'm coming. I'm the only rapper you know. Pop out Dolo, no security. My baby.
Polo G, like I said, you one of the smart ones, but I don't need you just to be smart. I need you to be wise. See, smart people learn from their own mistakes. Wise people learn from the mistakes of others. Polo G, we have seen enough rappers and enough people go on live, post their location, show what they got, flashing money, flashing jewelry. Some people dare their ops to pull up, put a location on it, and then they do, and then they dead. Okay, you have to learn from all those individuals, all right? The wolves already don't need a reason, my brother. We have seen too many rappers gunned down, in L.A. particularly, all right, for you to be moving like this. You say you wasn't lacking, okay? You said you got that glizzy on your hip. Young brother, you were lacking, okay? You were lacking common sense because, number one, you alerting the wolves that you in their city with no security, and you alerting law enforcement that you got the glizzy on the hip. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm an expert on California gun laws, but I did some research, and by research, I mean Google. And from what I found out, generally, you may not carry a concealed firearm on your person in public unless you have a valid carry concealed weapon license. And those licenses are only issued by a California County Sheriff to residents of the county or the Chief of Police to residents of the city. Hey, Polo G, if you have one of those, more power to you. If you don't have one of those, then you're going to end up in jail. And you're not going to have nobody to blame for that but yourself, because you went on live and told people you got that glizzy on the hip. Okay, look, I understand Polo G is a rapper, so this isn't going to hurt his brand or image in any way. But I don't care about his brand or image. Okay, I care about him. And I care about him potentially losing his freedom, even worse, his life, because he wants to go on Instagram and tell people that he's walking around L.A. with all his jewelry on, designer clothes, and no security, with a glizzy on his hip, allegedly. That may or may not be legal. My brothers, my sisters, I'm going to tell you what the OG E-40 told me many, 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 many moons ago. Okay, I'm talking over 12 years. He said, when you're worth something, you protect it. Simple as that. Nobody gets stripes in 2023 for saying you walking around with no security. The richest, most powerful people on the planet all have security, okay? Every elected official has security for the most part, all right? People that could beat your ass, like a Floyd Mayweather, have security. So why don't you? Furthermore, even if you got your own firearm, why do you want to get your hands dirty? Hire an armed security guard who's licensed and trained, and most importantly, insured, so if something does go down, liability doesn't fall on you. Nobody talks about that
liability part, okay? The liability that comes with you potentially having to shoot someone. You are Polo G. So let's just say your gun is legal. You do shoot someone. You got to pay your lawyer. You're probably still going to get arrested because you're black. And you know when you're black, you're guilty until proven innocent. But what about if the person you shoot sues you? Hire security. One of the worst things our generation ever did was be the generation that called rappers who have security suckers. Okay, not only did our generation of rappers clown people for having security, we encouraged them to still be in the streets with no security. My God, what were we thinking? We set so many of us up for failure, okay? There was a quote from Ice-T, the triple OG Ice-T, and he said, people are still hitting me up about my comments about L.A. gang culture. If you notice, L.A. rappers don't wear a lot of jewelry. Me, Snoop, Cube, Dre, Game, Kendrick, the list goes on and on. It's not because we're broke. L.A. is just a dangerous place. Rapper or not, why test the streets? Polo G and every other rapper that can hear my voice, I want you to ask yourself that question. Why am I testing the streets? Repeat after me. Ask yourself again. Why am I testing the streets? In fact, stop testing the streets because the life you save may be your own. Please give Polo G the biggest hee-haw.
All right.
Maybe this could all be a ploy, though. Maybe he wants people to try him because he got some undercover shooters and security, and he wants to be tried. You know, like that episode of Martin when his apartment got robbed and they said,
yeah, but the problem with that is bullets don't have no names, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just a yes, but no.
Yeah, but no, no.
Nah.
Stop bullets testing the streets. There's some women that need to stop testing the streets, too.
Really?
Yeah, the streets.
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah. Just stop it. Everybody stay out the streets.
Yes. I agree.
All right, well, thank you for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. BET, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody
say
else?
Peace, BET. Jess, say peace, BET.
I held it down. Peace, BET.
You did.
All right. Everybody else, 800-585-1051. If you're having relationships problems or any problems, Jess will fix your mess. That's right. 800-585-1051. Jess is going to help you out if you're having problems, relationship problems. If things are just not going right in your life, who's the best person to ask?
Jess. Hilarious. Duh.
She's not an expert. But she has some experiences.
All right, so call the number is 800-585. What's the last four, Andy?
1051.
1051. It's the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got Jess Hilarious here, and it's time for Jess Fix My Mess. That's when we open up the phone lines, and if you need relationship advice or any type of advice, you can call Jess 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
This is T.
Hey, T. What's your question for Jess?
Hey, everybody. Good morning, Charlotte. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice day, Andy.
Good morning.
And Jess.
Hey, boo.
So I'm calling because growing up, my mother raised me, but I have an older sister, and I felt like she always had a better bond with her. So as I grew older, I kind of resented her, and I didn't grow such a relationship with her throughout college. And now that I have my own kids and I'm older, she still tries to recreate that mother-daughter bond that I no longer desire. And I feel guilty. I feel bad about the situation because that is my mom at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But I look at it as I want to reflect how I grew up. I want to reflect that into my kids. So I just wanted to know, like, what I could do if I could do to, you know, open up a little bit more to my mom as crazy as it sounds, but just to be more welcoming and just try to understand you know, everything is not, parents are not perfect, and she may have been going through things at my time of being born and things of that sort that, yeah. I don't know, made me feel the way that I feel, but I'm a Capricorn, if that explains anything.
Okay, it actually has nothing to do with anything. That is literally how you felt growing up. Now, do you have a different dad than your older sister?
You know, that's funny, Jess, is because for all my life, I've known my dad to be the same dad, but actually recently here in my 30 years, he told me that he wasn't my dad. So I'm dealing with that. I'm trying to do a DNA test with him. He waited until I actually had my first son to tell me that he never thought that he was my dad, and he's the only person I know. So I've got a lot of stuff going on.
So that
kind of ties into it as well, because I don't know what my dad had going on then, but right now I don't even know, to be honest with you, to answer the question.
Right. I think we should start with your mom first. I mean, because if he could just wait, this long to tell you that, you know, after you have your child, that he's not your real father. Now, some people think that it's okay to know this, it's good to know this, and it's not good to know. I mean, you never know. You don't want a kid to feel without a parent. So some people keep that type of information from their children all their lives. But I do think that every child has a right to know who their biological father and mother is, because it's certain things that you may get from your biological dad that you don't see in the person who says they're your dad. You know what I mean? So you want to know where you come from and your bloodline and all of that. I think you should sit down with your mom and you should try to figure out where she was. Try to understand where she was mentally. She could have been messed up, like you just said. But that's how you go. That's how you would get to the bottom of it. In my opinion, I don't have this issue, but just from experience and helping other people, I think you don't come at her. Kind of try to make it a safe space for her to tell you what she was going through and allow her to kind of be able to be sorry about it, you know? Has she ever told you she was sorry?
Not for those particular words. She just, words. She just felt like, she's always told me that she felt like she's tried to be a part of my life, and I've shown resentment, but it's because that I've always felt, you know, she showed favoritism toward my older sister. Yeah. I honestly feel like I was, you know, how people get back together with their exes and they try to have a kid and think that their child is going to make their relationship better. I was kind of like one of those children, because I have a sister older than me that he had outside of my mom in their marriage. And then he went back to the same lady and had two younger kids with her. So I was kind of in between the process. I kind of feel like I was one of the children that, well, let's try to have a baby to see if we can mend our relationship, and it didn't work out, you know?
So you feel like you feel like you just always caught the short end of the stick, and I do understand, but you don't want to hinder your kids from a grandmother, because she's not the same. She may not be the same person that she was when she was raising you now, and she could want possibly to make that up, you know, to you through them, you know, being the best grandmother she can be. So don't take that away from them. But y'all need therapy. But it starts off with you just going to your mother. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we as kids have to be the bigger person.
I understand. I appreciate it.
No problem. I love you. Get it together with her, you know?
All right. Well, thank you, Jess. Charlamagne, did Jess care? Because you said she never cares. Did she care on that one?
She did. She did in that moment. She did. I can tell when Jess actually cares and when she fake caring. She was really caring.
Yeah. Just
caring. When she get in mama mode, she cares.
She cares. Oh, I got you. Care. Got you. All right. 800-585-1051. Jess with the mess. If you're having problems with your life, relationship, Jess is here to fix your mess. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Jess Hilarious is here, our co-host. And it's time for Jess Fix My Mess. Yes. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, y'all. It's Bethany.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's your question for Jess?
First off, good morning, Jess.
Hey, babe.
Uncle Charlamagne, JM.
Peace, queen.
Good morning.
So my problem is, well, it's really not even a problem. It is a mess. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I can never get past the talking stage. Like, guys will be in the DM. They'll stalk me. And then I finally give them a chance. We go out to eat, go on a date, couple dates. And then we just wind up ghosting each other.
And this is more than one person?
Well, yeah, I got a couple of rotation. Yeah.
Okay. But, and all of them have done the same thing?
Well, no, not all. The ones that stick around are usually the ones that I really don't want to talk to.
Okay. So you just...
But the ones that steady on my tail, they just disappear. And it's not like after sex or anything like that, but
so just listen to what you, like, so listen to what you just said. You said I said, does that happen with everybody? You said no, it don't happen to everybody. The ones that chase me, yeah, but not the ones that I really want to talk to. You ain't talking to the ones that want to chase you, so bye. That's what they saying. They spending money on you. You getting wined and dined. They chasing you. I know you. You like to be chased. You don't like to be caught, though. You know. You don't want to be caught by the ones that's chasing you. You like the. You probably like the ones that ain't chasing you. You like. You probably chasing somebody while they chasing you. Is that true?
No. It's just like the other way around, though.
You want to know why you getting ghosted?
No, I do the ghosting.
You want to know why you ghosting, like, people?
Yeah, because we don't ever get past that talking stage. Like, nothing it doesn't go further.
Well, what do you want?
See, that's why I need you to fix my mess.
Girl, I can't fix you. You need.
She ain't telling you everything, Jeff.
No, she not. Because she talking about why we don't never give it, but you got a roster. What the hell? Who you pick? 1, 2, 3, or 4? Which one you want?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Look, we'll call up next week when you find out, girl. People real.
Is she sleeping with those guys, Jess?
You know what? Jeez. The ones that's chasing her, she not sleeping with them, but they the one doing the most. They the ones doing the most for her. She chasing the ones that's just s***ing out, you know? So
we got time for another caller? Right fast?
Oh, my God.
Who's this?
What's up? Hey,
I'll
be anonymous. My name's Jesse.
What's up, baby? How you doing?
What's your question for Jess?
I'm good. How you doing, Miss Jess? How are you today?
I'm good.
Awesome. So, all right. So, I'm going to get right to it. How do I prove to my girl that I ain't soft? She be testing my dick to think I'm like a little dude. But I'm trying to tell her like I'm not like that, bro. You know what I'm saying?
That's what she trying to tell you, that you not like that, is what it sound like. She told you you're not like that. Are you short?
I'm positive. All right, I'll give you context. So she's Mexican, and in her culture, men are real, uh-oh, like, they call it machismo or whatever.
Okay.
But they insert themselves in certain ways that in my culture, you'll get whooped, you know, straight up.
Okay.
So, like, I know, like, growing up, I had to fight all the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose a lot of fights. So I don't like to fight down because you can go to jail for that.
Yeah. You know what your hands can do, yeah.
Yeah. So like I be trying to tell her, like, bro, I'm not soft.
Right.
But she's playing with me sometimes and like, man, like it ain't no way I can prove to her like
it's all good. Look, it's all right.
Hands on a woman.
Tell her, go mess with the baby for like 6 months, and I bet she'd be right back with you. you test the wrong nigga gangster, you gonna get it. So, look.
That's and that's the other thing. She got a brother, you know what I'm saying? And I be trying to tell her, like, bro, I'm only gonna tell him once. And if he don't get it, I'm assuming no. Mm. Because I'm gonna just start throwing him. Yep. And then I would hate to break up the family dynamic for her because... Like I
said, she's
Mexican, and they're really close.
Mm.
But if I beat up her brother, she's gonna really understand that
I'm
really not the one. You know what I'm saying?
You beat up our brother Holmes, it's gonna get crazy. You better not beat up that Mexican boy. Oh my God! But no, tell your girlfriend sit her ass down somewhere, and she'll be all right. That's all.
Wrap up, baby.
All right. Well, that is just fix my mess. And I don't know if you fixed something. Anybody's mess today, Jess.
I fixed the first girl's mess and the last person's mess. The girl in the middle, she didn't even know what the hell she was calling me for.
That was some good advice to that young man, too. You run up on that Mexican if you want to, you're going to get your ass beat.
I'm telling you, you better not fight that.
You fight what? You fight a Mexican, you're going to be fighting all day, and you're probably going to get jumped.
Listen.
Okay?
Yes, so no. Mm-mm.
Well, listen, make sure y'all subscribe to Jess Hilarious Podcast.
Why your mic sound like
reckless.
That?
I don't know why the mic sound like that.
Sounds good.
I like, yeah. It ain't
no Ray said it's fine.
Okay.
Yes. Well, make sure you subscribe to Jess Podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect iHeartRadio Podcast Network. She does Jess Fix My Mess every week, and the Jess Fix My Mess from this week is insane.
Yes, it is. And also, I want y'all to know the Jess Fix My Mess on Breakfast Club is different from the Jess Fix My Mess on Carefully Reckless, and it's different stories, so you want to catch both.
Yes.
All right. And when we come back, we got, of course, the rumor report. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's get to Jess with the mess.
Yes. Jess with the mess. Allegedly.
This is the rumor report.
So my news is real.
On The Breakfast Club.
Ooh, honey, it's ghetto up in here. Jonathan Majors and Megan Good hit Red Lobster dinner date with a family. So he
shut up, you lying.
I'm serious, yo. He took her to Red Lobster. That's where he took her. He wouldn't have took none of them white women there. Why are you going? And then bought her some Walmart flowers. He's serious. I don't know if this for the public now, because it's like he, ever since this came out, was like he been dressing real civil rights activist-y. He always dressed like that.
He been doing that, though.
Yeah,
with that hat. It's that hat that does it.
It's like he, yeah, it's the hat, but it's the button up too. The button up looked like the wallpaper from like Roots.
Yo, shut up.
No, that's right. It's like everything Jonathan wears looks like it would look better in black and white.
That's why I'm saying, yes, that's why.
Well, it looked better in the 60s. That's what you would say. It looked better in the 60s.
Yes. And, oh my God. But yep, he took her and the family to Red Lobster. Now, I think that that's just like some low key stuff. I think, you know, they, because we seen him getting off a jet and all of that. So it ain't, I think you just want to be low key. But you don't go to be low key at Red Lobster because that's where all the, that's like the low key spot. Not that I know, but that's where they go now. Like,
I don't know when these pictures were taken, but what if it was Mother's Day weekend? Because you know Mother's Day weekend, Easter weekend, Red Lobster be jumping.
I don't know, but he ain't had.
When's the last time y'all been to Red Lobster? Let's be real. When's the last time y'all been to Red Lobster?
I think I was like 12.
Nah, I've been to Red Lobster.
I'm 31.
I've been to Red Lobster. I like Red Lobster.
No, I think I was 17.
I liked it when I was younger, but when you grow up and you. Yo,
yeah,
like,
I get
all
what
of that
you're saying.
Stuff is like not good.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah,
that
it's
is
not very good. True. And then I'm from Baltimore, so we don't do Red Lobster seafood. We make
y'all got
seafood.
Real seafood.
Yeah, we got real seafood. Yeah. So yeah, Jonathan knew he could have did better than that for her and her mother. But look at what she wearing. She had on, you know, she had on leggings and a ball cap and all that. So, you know, it could have been just on some, just go here real quick. You know,
yeah, I could never defecate on Red Lobster all the way because Red Lobster has shown us some good times. That shrimp pasta with them cheddar cheese biscuits, Lord have mercy.
Biscuits, unlimited biscuits too. Oof.
Oh yeah, well that's nice. Samuel Jackson doesn't remember how he got engaged because he was on drugs at the time. Please play this audio from the show.
Now y'all been married 42 years, but been together over 50 years.
Yeah.
So, I heard the proposal was, how did it happen?
My story was, I came home one day, and she already had these invitations printed up, and she gave me a stack and said, be here.
Don't you love it?
And she said, no, that's not what happened. I actually had to go and talk to her grandfather, because he told her he wanted to walk her down the aisle before she died, and her living in sin with this man. So, I went and asked him for her hand or whatever. And that's probably what happened. Because I was on drugs, and I don't know what the hell was going on in my life. So, she's probably right.
Hey, yo, that's funny. I do believe that, though. I mean, we think we're doing something nowadays with the drugs. The only thing is, only difference is publicized. Everybody got phones out now, but they was getting big high back in the day. I ain't had to be back there with them.
Ours is more GMO. They had that raw stuff, that good stuff, that fresh off the boat stuff.
But they wasn't dying like they are now. Back in the day,
Nah, they was dying. There was a lot of artists ODing and a lot of actors.
Yeah, but the cocaine was pure back then.
Yeah,
cocaine
was pure. But what I'm saying is not as, like, it wasn't a lot of deaths resulting in ODing, was it?
They had their overdoses back then. But I get what you're saying because of fentanyl and everything nowadays. They got fentanyls and pollen nowadays.
Right. It's in where?
In pollen.
Oh, Lord, Jesus. All right. Mm-hmm. Lord Durk clears Asian Doll's name in King Von's death. This is something I think should have been done, but here's audio.
And I'm speaking for the whole Chicago. You ain't there. Shut the fuck up. You weren't there. So you made a diss and said something about Von. That's why I don't fuck with you. It just happened the way it happened. Like, it ain't had nothing to do with age and none of that shit. Just Von put the Floyd Mayweather on the motherfucker, and that happened.
All right, so just a backstory. Rest in peace to King Von, but when he had died, Asian Doll has sparked some speculation of her own when she tweeted Von's last words, insinuating that his friends were responsible for his death. And then people started, you know, coming at her like she had something to do with it, and you know, just speculating, you know. And I think with Durk knowing that, it wasn't absolutely at the top of his priority list to clear nobody's name. His man's, it just died, you know, and got killed. But I think it could have been done because people was really going in on that girl. And that also brings like light to how PNB Rock's death, how they
same
all
situation,
just jumped on his girlfriend and said that she was responsible because she had posted this. And it came up, she didn't even have nothing to do with that. Like, she didn't put out the location.
Why do people think, what's the young lady named Asian had something to do with it? Because I thought Vaughn got into a fight.
I have no idea. That's what it was, but I have no idea. Mm. That's just the BS of social media. That's what it is. But they were in her comments. They were definitely coming at her real hard. And I do salute Lord Durk for doing it. That was really nice. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that made her feel better, too, because she did thank him for doing that.
And you know when you play video from shows, you have to cite your sources, Jess.
What? What?
So that was DJ Academics off the record podcast.
Oh, the little intern, little fat boy intern that ain't good. Please, whatever. Say his little broke ass. Look, Offset shows love to Cardi B. The couple has made headlines several times during their relationship between cheating scandals and Cardi B filing for divorce and all that. But I think they've come a long way. And I really do see, like, really a lot of positivity, because he actually just came out and said that Cardi B actually is the one that got him off lean. Like, she stopped him from doing drugs, pretty much.
See? And what a good woman do for you?
Positive influence, you know. And Like 2 years back, he also said that she made him a better father too. You know, so I love how he ups his wife, and I love how she is that for him, you know, because you never know. You never know. People definitely can change. And I want people to stop saying, oh, once he cheat, always cheating. Cheat. Like, yo.
That is not true.
People really can. Hey, this ain't for, this ain't for you to say nothing. Jess.
All right.
Y'all don't.
I'm just saying. I know from experience.
Y'all have to give people room and time to grow, man. Everybody.
That's right. Don't talk that talk, Jess.
Like, everybody is not gonna stay the same forever. So I need for y'all. Y'all want all types of mercy and grace when y'all changing. Give it to other people.
That's right.
And I also want to say, I want to say this too with Cardi. And you know how they always say that a woman makes you better, a strong black woman makes you better.
I love
their relationship. And one thing I would say, Cardi's a great mom. If you follow on Cardi, you could talk about everything that Cardi does. She's a rapper, her past. But when it comes to them kids and babies, and not just her babies, his babies too, Cardi's out there cooking.
Yeah.
She's out there cleaning with them kids. She takes them kids to the park.
Yeah,
she takes them kids around to the stores. Cardi be out with them kids. So I want to salute Cardi. Shout out to Cardi B.
It's amazing how we have all these conversations about it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yeah.
But then we always want to not give people grace when it comes to how they used to be. Yep. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Your beard looked crazy from the side just now. Like all I saw was ink. No,
it's no
wow.
ink.
That look crazy just
yo,
now.
Leave me alone. Man. What's wrong with you?
You put that fresh paint job on for a room.
I really miss you. Yeah, let's
that's
get
crazy.
It. Ain't no paint. Don't do that.
Thank you, Jess. All right. Well, that is Jess with the mess. I hate you, yo.
And her news is real, allegedly.
All right. Up next, we got the People's Choice Mix. It don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
My plan for Verizon gives you control over your phone plan. To celebrate, we're giving you control over an aspect of our show. That's right. So check out our socials to see how to get on this control. You want to control the show this Friday? We'll tell you how. So tune in Friday to hear the outcome. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Jess Hilarious, of course, our co-host. Want to salute to you, Jess, for holding it down this morning.
All day. It smells good in here.
Well, don't smell good over here.
I'm not saying I staged this, so y'all technically ain't even here.
Jesus.
That is very true.
Yes.
All right. Well,
tell them where you're at this weekend, tomorrow. Jess.
I will be in East Providence, Rhode Island this weekend at Comedy Connection. We got two shows on Friday and two shows on Saturday. Get your tickets. They are literally almost sold out. I keep talking about get your tickets. The only show that still has about 15 or 16 tickets left is the early show on Friday. So get your tickets. We'll get the last 16. And I will not be doing meet and greet. I'm sorry. But get your tickets, y'all. JessLarisOfficial.com. I see you, East Providence.
All right. And also, got to remind you guys, my car show is this weekend in Memphis. And if you got scammed out of tickets, I know there was a scammer on Eventbrite that was selling fake tickets. We shut their site down, and Eventbrite sent everybody back their money. So if for any reason you need tickets because something was sold out, like the VIP is sold out and all that, just hit my assistant Mercedes and show them that letter, and we'll get you right. All right? When we come back, we got the positive notice, the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now it's time to get up out of here. Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. I want to salute a young lady named Sydney, though. I met Sydney yesterday, and she ran down on me, and she said she wanted to call up and reach through the phone and choke you, Envy, because of the way you was talking to Ebony K. Brown. Okay?
Ebony K. Brown?
Exactly. But that's what Cindy said.
That's who.
And I didn't correct her.
Who is Ebony Brown, girl?
She was talking about Ebony K. Williams, but she said, I wanted to choke Envy for what he said to Ebony K. Brown. Okay? So salute to Sydney. Breakfast Club listeners got a different level of passion, I'm telling you, man.
Absolutely. I was in the airport yesterday. I told you I ran into the the bus driver from the Bronx that always calls in. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because she was the complete opposite. She gave me a hug and she was like, thank you for standing up for us bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So shout out to her.
That's the game. But that's, if you have an opinion, if you have a point of view, some people are going to agree. Some people not going to agree. Some people don't even care. And that's life.
It's what it is. Look, real quick, though. So, June 10th, the biggest show of the year at in the DMV in D.C., though. MGM National Harbor. Get your tickets, Ticketmaster.com. I'm going to be there. It's always the biggest show of the year when I do D.C. or Baltimore because they love me so much. So, get your tickets, like I said, either my website, JessAlariasOfficial.com, or www. Don't nobody even use the W's no more. Ticketmaster.com. Get your tickets. I'll see you June 10th, D.C.,
June 10th in D.C. Let me see what I'm doing on June 10th.
Yeah, please.
Don't lie.
Please.
You a liar. Don't lie.
Please. I'm that serious.
Don't get my hopes up. Like, don't do that.
You a liar.
I got to see what I'm doing June 10th.
All right, cool. Because Sim and all them said they was coming already. So don't. Yeah, and Red. Eddie.
Red definitely lying.
Eddie. You know, he is going to bring his wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I have a family show, so yeah.
The positive note is this, man. Make peace with the fact that people hold different versions of you in their mind. Ultimately, who you know yourself to be is what matters the most.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?